and gentlemen, I'm sorry I again presents Incompetence, the story of a family in the industrial north of England. It is the tale of strife and struggles within a proud, defiant family and starts their rise to fortune and power and their ultimate decline. Incompetence is the story of the Arkwright family. It is the year 1850. This is Fosswacket Mill, pride of the Arkwrights. This is Victorian England in its heyday, and this is a cheese sandwich. Our tale begins as old Joshua Arkwright, proprietor of Fosswacket Mill, hears grave news.
Thou best come quick, Mr. Arkwright. There's trouble down at the mill.
Nay, lad, nay.
Aye, Mr. Arkwright, aye.
Nay, not trouble down at Fosswacket Mill.
Aye, trouble, Mr. Arkwright, aye.
Nay, lad, nay. I'll not hear of it.
Aye, Mr. Arkwright, aye. There's trouble down at the mill. Trouble, Mr. Arkwright, aye. Trouble down at the mill. Trouble. I tell you, there's trouble down at the mill. I'll tell you. Mr. Arkwright.
Yeah. You're trying to tell me something, aren't you, lad?
Aye, there's trouble down at mill. There's trouble. Them and back up and fly, Master, while there's still time. There's trouble at mill.
There's been Arkwrights at Fosswacket Mill for nigh on 200 years. Oh. This is my place, lad. I cannot leave it now. 50 years I've kept these looms spinning out best cotton in England.
They were spinning out best wool.
Cotton, it's all cloth. Aye, lad, it were old Reuben Arkwright as first built Fosswacket Mill, you know, lad. Built it with his own two hands, he did. 20 years, it took him 20 long, hard years. And when he was done, he knelt down inside it and he looked up at what he'd built. And he cried out, "Hallelujah!" And the old lot fell on him.
But master, there's talk of burning down the mill.
Burning it down, do you say? Yeah. Nay, never, lad. They'd never burn down Fosswacket Mill.
They've blown up the mill.
I told you they'd never burn it down.
Hey, look out at the window. They're all coming up to the house. They're after you, Mr. Arkwright. We're done for.
Well, stand up to them, lad.
Hello, anyone at home?
Who's that?
It's only us writing workers for the mill. May we come in?
Door's open.
Pardon my intrusion, I'm sure. Oh, my, what a lovely abode you have here.
Aye, so it's you, Jed Thoroughbudget. I might have known. You were always a troublemaker. Well, what are you after?
Oh, we just come to steal your valuables and burn down the house, if it's not too much of an inconvenience.
No, Jed Thoroughbudget, we're reasonable folk. Let's talk it over.
Righty-ho, but I'll have to ask the lads.
Mutter.
What did they say?
They said mutter.
Anyway, who are all these men?
Oh, they're all the lads from the mill.
How do, Mr. Arkwright?
And so, without further ado, they got down to business.
You see, Mr. Arkwright, we're worried about all those machines you're bringing in. They could put us out of work and we're poor folk.
Aye, but that's progress, lad. Why, those machines can do anything a man can do, and better.
Aye, but what about our wives?
Well, the machines are the limitation.
And so they argue. At last, the men agreed to go back to work if their weekly wage was increased to 2 slices of dried bread and a piece of cake.
What sort of cake?
Fruit cake.
Ah, raising celery.
Soon, Fosswacket Mill was back to normal. But there was a very hard winter to come. The children had no shoes and even the sheep went bare.
Bare. Sheepishly.
All around, there was nothing but snow, thick snow.
But at last, Dame Nature grew weary of her wintry spell, and casting aside the white mantle of her snows, she blessed the fair and waiting earth with the eager breath of springtide, and once again the hills and vales were alive with colour.
I wish I were a daffodil. Ah, daffy me down, dilly. I'd turn my face towards the sun, and they would call me Willy. Yes, if I were a daffodil, ah, daffy me down, dilly, I'd wear a pair of purple socks. Now, wouldn't that be silly?
Yes. Yes. Springtime, the time when a young man's fancy turns to thoughts of love. I'm speaking as a young man's fancy, I should know. But let us return. Let us return. Let us return. Once again we return to the Arkwrights, and in particular to young Enoch Arkwright, son of old Joshua. One spring morning, Enoch was riding out on business, his horse, when he spied by the wayside a lovely young lass.
business. Good day to you, lass.
Good day, Master. Who are you?
I'm young Enoch Arkwright.
Oh, I'm Martha Scupper Thatchett. My father's a weaver at Foswacket Mill. He works at the loom beside the winder.
Oh, a loom with a view.
You're right.
Hey, up, lass. Would's the care to come for a ride on my horse, old Bismuth?
You mean business.
I certainly do.
Mean name, Master.
And so they sat by the roadside, chatting away while the light lasted. Then they went on to Brownell. Eventually, he proposed to her, although he knew that he was the well-dressed son of a millowner, whereas she was a girl of humble birth in a cheap dress, and he could see that it was not fitting.
Well, it's only a cheap dress.
And so they were married, and young Enoch decided to tell his father about the wedding.
Oh, well, here goes.
Ah, that sounds like Enoch.
Father, I've something to tell you. I'm wed.
Well, dry yourself out at five.
No. I'm married.
Married? Who to? Don't tell me you've gone and married all the Amos Hardcastle's youngest.
No.
Just as well, he's a fella.
Nay, Father. I've married Martha Scupperthatchett.
Martha Scupperthatchett? Nay, lad. What have you done?
Well, nothing yet.
Sithy, lad. That's brought this... Sithee, lad, that's brought disgrace to the name of Arkwright. I never want to see your face again. I'm going to cut you off.
But I've just got married.
Oh, go. Go now. Goodbye, Enoch.
Adieu, Father. Adieu.
And so without further ado, Enoch left. And he and Martha set out together in search of a new life. Time passes.
So what else is new?
One bright morning, Martha has some news for Enoch.
Enoch, I'm going to have a baby.
Well, I never did.
You did, you know.
And so... And so one dark and windy night...
Oh, Master, have you not heard news? Your father, he passed over at 10 o'clock this morning.
And so Enoch Arkwright became the new master of Foswacket Mill, the scene of so much trouble in the past. And with the passing of the seasons, a new peace came to the mill. Her name was Esmeralda Bunfaster. Those were happy days for Enoch, but little did he know that his future was soon to be overshadowed by the dark, brooding figure of Jed Thoroughbudget.
Hello, it's me again.
One dark and stormy evening, when Enoch was working late at the mill, Martha heard a rapping at the door. She opened it, and inside the wrapping, she found...
Jed Thoroughbudget!
She's I. Oh, Martha, be mine tonight.
Oh, very well.
At these words, Jed flung himself at her feet.
Oh, what blissful rapture.
Shouldn't that be rapture?
No.
Enoch spent more and more of his time in the local pub, seeking solace in the bottle.
A bottle of tomato solace, please.
He searched high and low for Jed and Martha.
Excuse me, landlord. Have you seen a young man and woman pass this way?
Oh, a very handsome pair.
In fact, here's the young lady now.
Enoch!
Martha. But where's that Jed Thoroughbudget?
Gone, Enoch. Gone and forgotten. He didn't really love me. And when I found out it wasn't the real thing, I broke it off.
And so they returned to the home of the Arkwrights. Business was in a bad way, and even the quality of the cloth had deteriorated.
Yes, things were going from plaid to worsted.
Gee, if only that son of mine was back from London, he could lend a hand.
I am back. Hello, Daddy.
It can't be. Young Jonathan, back from London.
Yes, long time no see, Pater, what?
Hey, lad, now you're here, you can help me run the mill.
No, Daddy, I've got a job in London.
What?
Yes, Luke, he's a photograph on me in my new job.
What's this? Picture of you wearing nothing but a stamped address envelope?
Yes, Daddy, I'm a male model.
Hey, how could you stoop so low?
Well, if you were wearing a stamped address...
Nay, but lad, you need it here.
No thanks, Daddy, no thanks.
Well, if you won't come back, you won't. But this'll mean the end of Foswacket Mill.
Oh, Daddy.
I can't carry on, son. And the only thing that could save us now would be some enormous freak of nature.
Did somebody call me?
Music. Who are you?
Oh, I am Lady Constance the Coverlet.
I don't think I've made your acquaintance.
It all depends which acquaintance you mean. However, I was passing this way. Oh, and
Jim, I heard you were having a little trouble.
It's not for sale.
Oh, come, I'll give you £2 million for it.
£2 million for that old mill?
Who said anything about a mill?
You mean you're giving away the money for fun?
For fun? I'd give away anything!
But let's get back to the mill.
Very well, and then let's get back to my place.
Look, I'm prepared to sell Fosswacket Mill if the price is right.
Splendid. I have brought with me my lawyer. Mr. Mouse Peddler, would you explain the terms of the pot trust?
Certainly, my lady. Quite simply, the party of the first part hereinafter known as the party of the second part yield up to said Fosswacket Mill, hereinafter referred to as the said property, however, not then retaining the rights of Champerty, Obeisance, and Titheridge. Moreover, that the aforesaid parties in agreement shall severally bind themselves with oaths and rumpage. And now here is a late football result. Arsenal 2. Arsenal 2, Sheffield Wednesday. And now... I'll hand you back to the script.
Well, Mr. Arkwright, what, after all that, do say?
Done.
You certainly have been.
And so much to everyone's surprise ends the story of the Arkwrights and Fosswacket Mill. Lady Constance bought Fosswacket Mill and several other mills around those parts and used them as kennels for the 500 dogs she brought over from Germany.
Wait a minute. She bought the mills and filled them with dogs she brought from Germany? You don't mean...
Yes.
With the hounds of Munich.
Yes, I'm sure you are, by Tim Brooke Taylor.
Sorry!
By John Cleese.
I'll.
By Graham Garden. Read by me, David Hatch.
That.
By Joe Kendall.
Also. I mean, again.
And again by Bill Oddie. The musical arrangements were by...